Going live.
Dancing the way into Wednesday morning. Yeah. Hello, everybody.
Good morning.
Here we are, the idiotic crowd. Hey, gang, let's, Mark's saying dance. Mark, you owe us some dollar bills now or something. There's something going on here. You got to pay us, buddy.
See, it all goes weird within the first 2 minutes.
That's right. It's Wednesday. Guys, let us know in the chat quickly how the volume is for hearing us, because we're not sure about this whole thing. We're flying by the seat of our pants. Let us know.
Literally.
A bit low. A little bit low. Well, we'll try to talk loud.
All right.
So good morning, gang, from Learning Solutions here in overcast.
Sunny Orlando.
Sunny Orlando, except today it's overcast, right? It's
going to
maybe rain. But we're all tucked away in the hotel conference room. A little echoey. Yeah, well, so we'll see how that goes, guys. Sorry, we'll fight through this. We'll get through it together, gang. We get to do this thing live today. Welcome to Duncan Wilder from the Risk team, who's going to join us here today. On Monday, so this is Wednesday, on Monday ahead of one of the pre-conferences was XAPI camp, where a bunch of folks got together, shared some really cool stuff. Our own team was there showing off a really cool little project that we put together using some XAPI and some real world learning. And Duncan was there with the Risk team talking about a group that they've been working with, doing something really kind of cool. And I think it's cool because Risk is an LMS vendor, but they're actually doing some stuff with this project that kind of reroutes or end roots the LMS. It still involves the LMS, but it's not the focus of the project at all. And the second thing is it's all built around spaced learning, spaced repetition learning, which we're big fans of. Such a powerful tool, and it tends to get neglected in our world too much. So let's do a quick introduction. We'll let Duncan tell us a little bit about himself first of all, and then we'll talk a bit about what you were talking about the project.
I have to recalibrate my language for the show.
Put on your best Canadian.
You don't have to be Canadian. I can't help it. I mean, everybody else can aspire to it if you wish, but you don't have to. We don't expect you to get there on the first round.
Okay. All right.
Spaced repetition, you'll get it over time.
A little poutine at lunch, and right, I'll see if I'm better this afternoon.
Good idea.
No, but I appreciate you guys having me. Listen, my name's Duncan Wilder. I work for Risk in Houston. We're traditionally LMS provider and do a lot of work on the XAPI side. So have been from the early adopter times and something that's always interesting and always looking for new projects there. So was excited to get to come in and chat about the spaced learning bit.
Yeah. So when did you first, I guess, learn about the idea of spaced learning, even ahead of this project, or how did you come into it and find out about it?
Well, I guess, from a something that you think about from a collegiate standpoint, right? You study in school and then you get out and it's like, all right, here, everything's got to be a module, right? We're going to have content. So you either have stand-up classroom instruction that, lasts an extended period of time, or training module that has a beginning, a middle, and an end, but a fairly linear path. And even though that, the follow-up stuff is what's important, helps things stick, make action plans after a course. So many of those things just fall by the wayside as you're trying to crank out content, get people trained, and then rereading Make It Stick here recently, where it talks about different models for effective learning, so spaced repetition, interlacing content between different areas. And thought, this is a really good potential fit, and really what I think is the goal of a lot of micro learning that hasn't quite yet been realized, because I think of delivery a lot of times is a mm-hmm. challenge.
We haven't quite figured that out yet, I don't think, from the tech side. And it's not that it's hard, it's just that we don't have a magic button for instructional designers to buy to say, I'd like spaced repetition today. And push the button and make it happen. But now maybe we're getting closer.
No, I think we are. I think XAPI helps push us a long way that direction as far as making it easier to deliver those things without having to have some kind of proprietary system that you invest big money in and have developed for a very specific cause and purpose.
So tell us a little bit about the project that where you were, bringing the spaced repetition and the XAPI then together.
Sure.
It was for field workers, I think you said.
That's right. It's field supervisors. So this group that they do field. Energy industry stuff. So all of their first level supervisors, second level supervisors are really outside of the office. So they're away, they're working in the field, working out of a truck, working out of a hotel, and they have some employee retention problems versus learning retention.
Okay.
I always try to make sure I'm clear on those because I'll use them interchangeably on occasion. And really wanted to focus on supervisor leadership development and trying to figure out how to get that out into the field. And he came to us and said, all right, we've got this great content. We're putting together training that we want delivered on cell phones to these supervisors in the field, 5-7 minutes apiece. Here is a sample score module. How would we do it? And at that point, we said,
maybe not.
Well, we can send out a link. They get into the LMS and they go through. They're like, no. LMS is a bad word in our environment. We're not going to send people to the LMS. We need them to launch the content and get a completion without ever hitting it. Can you publish this to XAPI? Back said, yep, we have the output option, right? So they bounced us over a module there and took a couple days of sorting. We figured out how to get an embedded token linked to that module from the LOS and send that out through a text link, an SMS link that they could hit, go through that content. It writes directly back to the learning record store using XAPI. And then at the whole conclusion there, the administrators go in the LMS and still report on all that content, all the completions, even though the students never saw or even aware have a logon ID for an LMS problem.
Right. So the message that they've got has actually got identification in it to tell the system basically who they are, so it is tracked to them as an individual. That's part of the secret
that's
sauce.
That's the user
of this. It's not just
So that token just says, hey, there's a person, right? This encrypted ID. But when the information gets back to the LRS, we can translate that to the actual employee information so that they can fit into reports. You can sort them out by departments and work areas and all those things that you'd normally expect with that unique employee identifier.
Yeah, so let's make sure everybody that's watching or listening is tracking along with us. And for my own sake, I need to recap to make sure I'm getting it. So from a user perspective, they're getting a text message. And so we need to circle back around to the student and talk about the text messaging technology, because I don't think everybody kind of understands how to make that work. Like, how do you send somebody a text message, right? Like, what technology does that? So the user gets that text message and they either act on it then and by clicking the link that comes in on that text message, right? And then that takes them to a web page with a question on it or something like that.
They're little content modules, so they'll go through a bit of content. Now each one is building on the last, right?
Okay,
so you get some of that repetition
and
coming
short. You
and they're short, they're like 5 to 7 minutes.
Short. Okay.
They have a little knowledge check, but it's a 3-4 questions inside each module itself. So you're capturing that.
So then they go through and do the that. Content. Yeah, they get the content, they go through the questions, and then that gets sent that they've done that, gets sent to the LRS, that data, and then it's the LMS then that pulls the data. Every now and then grabs the new data and pulls it into the LMS and gives them credit, and everybody that needs to track it and needs to admin the LMS, they can go in and they can get that data and pull it out of it. So
that's right, because one of the important pieces
is
designing the timing, right? So
right.
The way that their program is designed, if I complete something today, I'm going to get the second module, third module, whatever my wherever I'm in series, in 7 days. But if I don't finish it today, in 3 days, then I will get a reminder that says, hey, remember you have module one sitting out there. Because what we found is after the messages go out, there's a big spike initially. Okay. And then the next morning you see a little bit of a bump. But by that second evening, if someone hasn't responded to the text message, they're probably
not. Yeah.
That's it.
Feels like 3 days is good on that timing side.
Okay. And how did you come up with the timing? I know that when you if you Google or if you look at Wikipedia on spaced repetition, there is some research around memory and the forgetting curve and all of that, and what exactly the right amount of space between recalling certain information. Did you guys go all scientific or just kind of eyeball it?
I like to believe there's a little bit of blurring of both. Because one of the
things is art and science in what we do. Well,
and they're sending it out to, you know, these guys, these folks are working on the job too, right? So you can't just pull them away for, you know, an inordinate amount of time. So didn't want to overwhelm them, you know, multiple things and have people just say, all right, I'm turned off on the whole process. So we just felt very good with this content. I think that could probably change content to content as well.
But I mean, the amount of time that you would deliver something. So when you said 7 days, they get the next module. Who picked 7 days? Was it just that just kind of worked?
It was really the developers on the content side that drove that in working, and they wanted to have a little bit tighter frequency. But the company said that's just a little bit overwhelming for employees.
It's about I mean, you don't want them constantly dinging or so that it becomes annoying.
Sounds about right.
And I guess
if you're trying to keep it easy,
if you're kind of doing it on time, you kind of know that every whatever Wednesday or whatever that, you know, that this is going to come at you, so you kind of incorporate that, maybe mentally prepared for that to happen, as opposed to damn phone's going off again, I got another module to take.
Well, that's why we call it spaced repetition. There's got to be some
some time in there. And you know, one of the nice things, I guess, from the standpoint of not ever getting in the LMS, they don't really know or see that there's something else that's that next piece falls.
That's the nice thing about it, I think, is that they don't, they know that that one thing that they've got, they know it's going to be short, right? And they can take it, and then they don't have to worry about, oh, do I have enough time to take the next thing right away or whatever, because they don't have any way of getting to the next thing. They have to wait for it to come to them.
That's right. Yeah. So they can't rush through it. You can't, it's not that compliance rush at the end of the year, right? Or it's just like, all right, I've got to take every one of my safety modules here on the last day of the year.
Next.
But you know, the other thing that I found, you mentioned that about kind of the immediacy of taking it with a small group. About 600-700 people, they didn't have company cell phones, so they basically followed the same method but using email. And we found in the first month or so of the rollout is that the folks that received email were about half as likely to finish a module. So the people that received a text message were two times as likely to go in and complete the training. So pretty good response rate there.
Interesting stats. Yeah. Well, let's talk for a second about how you send a text message. How do you develop with a text messaging system? If people are out there listening, they're going, that is so cool. I've never thought to, you know, send a link via text message. And then they go out and do it, and they're like, well, wait, how do you do that? Do you just put in someone's phone number goes to
them? You just make a message group on one person's phone, and then you send it.
They send
all
it out
for the whole company. That's how it works, right?
You can do 300 SMSs, right, from one phone?
There's been a little bit of a learning curve for me. I won't deny on the messaging side. So there are services that handle the distribution of messages, right? And a lot of times for marketing, they'll use a short code, right?
Right.
You've seen these, right? For text, whatever, to, you know, some 4-digit number.
Yes. Okay.
Those essentially are opt-in numbers that let you bypass some of the spamming, you know, to share terms across across the internet concerns there. But in this case, because they're all employees and they all have agreed in taking this company cell phone to receive a message
from the company.
We're using a regular phone number and using a Twilio service to to really as a backbone there for sending the messages. Okay. What it discovered very early on is,
and I'm sorry, just say that again, it's Twilio? It's a Twilio service.
So it's essentially an account for bulk SMS messaging. Processing.
Gotcha.
But even that, I learned a couple of things. One, we started out using a compressed link, a bit.ly kind of link, right? Because it's a text message and you get charged by the message.
For the letter.
So bounced those out, all of a sudden had a big group of them and worked fine, test people, and then of course get someone to get this batch of rejections from them and realize that Verizon as a carrier does not allow you to send out a compressed link. Okay, so now I got to go back to full-size links, and that worked, and that was a fly one.
So some of the carriers allow the short links and other carriers do not.
Yep, so they bounced completely on that. And then there's also a check on the number of messages you send per second out of a system. What we could do is have multiple phone numbers and cycle through those so that we're not hitting one number over.
So you're not maxing out and then getting labeled as spammer.
Blacklisted there. Because there's still the option of sending back a stop and saying, I'm opting in.
Okay.
You always have to have that.
So the project as a whole needs the Twilio backend to handle your SMSs and you send out your links in.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need a website or a web server of some sort to hold that content that you're going to be delivering. Then there is the LRS. And then, of course, you already have an LMS. Am I missing any tech in there in this whole picture?
Really just kind of the one function around setting up the management delivery, right? LMS already has the ability to set up email templates, text templates for sending messages. So that part is there.
Okay.
But somewhere in the process, you have to be able to say, lesson two can't come until 7 days after lesson one. So there's that piece that is another.
The LMS doesn't handle that too?
The LMS does.
Oh, it does.
But something that had been a relatively new add there and making that delay, having a multi-lesson course, pretty standard anyway, but generally you either can go through all that stuff at the same time, kind of one after the next. So it's, how do you make that pause in between?
Right.
And then make that the trigger then for the next email message.
Okay.
So that's a little bit of the putting wires together part.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of pieces involved, but it's really kind of cool. I mean, you're still using the LMS for some functions that you expect, the scheduling, the connection, a curriculum, let's say, or whatever, and all of those pieces, but then it's actually being triggered by the data coming out of the LRS to tell it what to do. It's a kind of a neat sort of hybridization of those two worlds. Anybody in the chat there got any questions? Don't hesitate, guys. We are trying to keep an eye on things. So anyway, chime in, guys, and let us know too as we go along with the audio. Sounds like the expo hall is starting to fill up with more people, and so the background noise might get a little bit stronger as we go here. So. Anyway, hopefully that's not a bad interview. So this the training though, something that kind of took me until after the session. I went, oh wait a minute, because my assumption was because it was field type stuff, it was like technical stuff, right? Like here's how to work on this thing in the field, But it was actually soft skills related training.
It is. Now there's already been some discussion about looking at safety training, so something that is more technical there. It's soft skills training, so it's leadership, but it is very much geared towards the audience. Gone through it and looked at some of the content that is out there, it does talk about how you're working with the operator that has you hired, how you work with that project crew and the folks in the field there managing expectations. So it's tailored to the audience, certainly.
Cool.
And all customized there. So but
it's not using stock photos of people in offices.
No. Everyone's got their hard hat and has the right logo on the front and all the good things there. Trying to make that training experience though as much in context with what you're doing. So here you are at standing on the job site and running through that content with pictures of what you do every day.
Very cool. So far, you've been running it for like only a month or two.
Yeah,
right,
just about a month and a half. Starting phase.
Pretty new project.
So, and you were mentioning at XAPI Camp that, you know, you're really looking to help to get a lot of really cool, you know, insight and data as the project, you know, extends out, etc. But any sort of initial things that that you guys are observing?
Well, probably the big initial thing is, you know, one, the improved rate of completion with the text messaging.
Right.
Pleased with, not necessarily surprised, but I was surprised to see that it was such a start.
Right. That's sort of 2-to-1 kind of ratio.
And we've been delivering training, you know, notifications through email messages for, you know, decades now.
Yeah.
So this is not, you know, this is not a new thing. It just surprised me that the different medium, different mode is so much greater there. Outside of that, you know, part of it is there's the communication side that's always critical there. That, you know, there needs to be an expectation. You know, you can't say, all right, I'm gonna start bombarding people with text messages out of the blue without having some, you know, awareness of what's coming in. And again, from the standpoint of especially employee retention, there and trying to keep people engaged. I think that's always a critical element anyway, so that you have to make sure you take a look at it. And I find a lot of times doing kind of implementation work on projects, it's easy to neglect that piece, final communication
marketing
internally.
Oh, hey, by the way, we're about to do this to you. You know,
say, we've been so focused on getting it all together for so long, and now, oh, hey, it's ready.
And everyone's like, what the heck? Yeah, what's this? Any feedback from, I guess, the people taking the content? Anything initially that you're getting, even qualitatively or comment-wise?
The comments have been positive all the way through. There's a lot of excitement in every follow-up meeting so far. And I think right now it's from a company side, for them, they're saying, hey, we're not going to just move everything that way, right?
And yeah.
You may remember this time, but all of a sudden you could, you know, suddenly convert PowerPoint to online. It's like, we could deliver everything, right?
Everything this
everything.
Way.
Like, oh,
we've got a new hammer. Everything's a nail.
I just need a check in the box. I need a check in the box that you did this. I need a check in the box that you did that. We're going to cram everything out. And, so there's that. Okay, wait. You got to approach this with some caution, right?
Yeah.
Because it's easy to get excited about a new method.
Cool.
And say,
yeah,
hey,
let's
do this. But the fact that you can track duration there is something that's critical in this environment, because a lot of times training has, you know, we can all argue this one, but this arbitrary, it has to be X amount of time to satisfy a regulatory requirement. Well, even if I'm delivering it in these small bites,
you can still
collate all that all the time.
Okay, so you can
and say, now, you know, now even though it's spread out over 18 modules, it's the required so many hours.
Yeah.
So Eric's got a note here. I'd offer learners the opportunity to opt in to receive text reminders. Many people are turned off by too many notifications. And you guys, I think you said it,
Camp.
You guys did give people the option, right?
And we've had we had a handful of people opt out, but it was a really fairly small number. I mean, probably in the 24 range tops out of a sample of 2,700.
Wow.
Yeah, so
okay,
and it sounds based on like even with the pacing and stuff that you're not, it's not like they're getting a notification every 15, you know, like that level of distraction or frustration either. So
that's the hope.
Cool. Yeah, so they did build that in there, Eric, and that as part of the planning. And it sounds like most people who had the company phones anyway did opt in to participate that way.
Yeah, and one of the other things that we tried to do to be sensitive to that is, one, you can flag days of the week that messages are sent or not sent.
Oh, okay.
Because you don't want people getting messages on their off days. As well as a just kind of a general configuration that lets you identify holidays. So you come in and say, all right, here are the 10 federal holidays. We're not going to send any messages on those. You just let that kind of fly in the background. And then things roll from one day to the next.
Yeah, it's those little things that I don't think we would even think of.
Until someone complained.
Yeah, and so why'd you send this on your Christmas party?
I was at the family barbecue and you want me to take that train.
That's right. Yeah. I don't want the Sunday afternoon reminder.
No, no kidding.
Yeah, not if it's coming by a text message. If it comes an email, I don't really care.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to sit till I look at my emails later on.
So. Yeah, so I can just ignore that one.
Very cool. Very cool.
Good stuff.
Jennifer's got a question that just popped in. How do you manage outlier types of situations, like folks who are on sick leave or otherwise unavailable to participate via the scheduled link distributions? So, folks who aren't actually around for a given time.
Well, if the person is inactivated, right, inside the system, so just marked as the same way that you flag someone as inactive if they went on leave, if they were are terminated or had a longer outage, then when they come back in and get reactivated, they essentially pick right back up in the series there. So there's some tie that you have to have with the HR side of the world, right, to make sure you know who is and who is not in and available.
Yeah. But is there a way within that text message for them to be able to say, oh, I forgot to tell HR that I'm going to be out for the next 6 weeks and I'm still getting these messages? Can they connect there? Is that not built into the system too? Like, can they opt out on the fly when they're already in it, I guess?
There's really two ways, right? So they can just type stop, right?
Okay.
So stop back and that will stop the messages.
Okay.
Or they can reply, and there's a log of any replies that you do see. So it's not even though most of those messages say do not respond, that you get from automated systems, there's technically a place where those messages go if you do respond.
Okay, good to know.
So they monitor that log, and in their case, not doing marketing messages or things like that where you may not be interested in what kind of messages come back. They are sensitive to it, and they want to know, what kind of feedback is happening.
Cool. Yeah, it might be interesting to have like a switch, like type email in the text message field if you'd like to shift all of these messages over to the email version something like that instead of the stops. I was just thinking about that. When I get those automated text messages, there's always the extra couple sentences on the bottom that says, if you'd like to stop receiving these, type stop into the field.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten about that.
So Jennifer had a follow-up question. How do they catch up once they return to work? So if they've been out and they come back in, I guess that's, again, a sort of an HR driven over to the...
They would know. They would know which one they completed last and turn it back on.
So really you just pick back up in series. So it's not a matter of catching up. It's just starting back wherever you were in that process. Now, their policies, they do have a period of time after which you start everything over.
Right.
Because that happens a lot in safety-sensitive environments anyway. Yeah. But the reality is they're going to hire a new person tomorrow, and they're going to be in a different cycle than I am starting a week.
So
people will always be completing modules at different times, right? Somebody gets a message, they don't respond this week. Next week, they go back, they start back up. Now they're a week behind. It wasn't a big concern in this case.
Yeah, cool. Very cool. Sounds like that hit the mark for Jennifer too.
Excellent.
She tossed in a thank you list. So yeah. Oh, there is an official question too.
In the Q&A box. Let's check that out. All right.
Any use cases or recommended resources for using this type of strategy in academia?
Interesting. I am certain there are. I don't know that I have the wherewithal to come up with a specific source there.
And welcome to Learning Solutions 2019.
The voice from heaven.
The voice from heaven telling us that the hall is open.
Exhibits are open from 9:30 a.m. until 3 p.m. this afternoon. Lunch will be served in the exhibit hall at 11:45
a.m. So everybody got that at home, and you're all going to be here for lunch at 11:45. Don't forget your tickets.
Yeah, make sure you hit all the booths by 3.
Yeah, exactly. Show closes at 3. You're welcome to stick around, though, and help us tear down the booth.
There you go.
You can always use an extra hand or two, for sure.
Cool.
All right, that question.
The academia side. I had to go back and take a look at that Making It Stick book as one reference, but there are tons and tons of resources. If you do a quick search on space learning or spaced repetition, tons of articles out over the years. So not something that's new conceptually, just a new method of getting it out
there. Yeah, using XAPI, using text messages in email on the front end. You got the website and the web content, and you got the LMS that pulls all the data from the LRS. So it's new tech-wise, and maybe this is something we can write up, step list or something, and just talk about it. Might be an interesting article.
Sure.
Are you doing it for the XAPI quarterly or anything like that we can include eventually as a link?
Yeah, I should. Yeah, I'll once you get a little bit of data, we'll get something published there. And I think this has got an opportunity to expand it to other, looking at other methods that are, kind of from the cognitive science, proven methods of improving retention that we can now apply new technology to. So my thought is, hey, let's look at some of the other possibilities that are out there now that we do have a new set of tools in our toolbox.
Yeah,
very cool. Very, very cool. Well, we're hitting the mark. It's getting louder in here. So I think what we'll do is we'll dance on out of here. Guys, thanks so much for joining us today. Hope this was cool. Hope the audio quality wasn't too bad. I'm talking so that Brent gets the video audio ranked up. So, here we go. Here's the music. Thanks so much, gang. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye, everybody. Hey, where's my mug?
It's full body dancing today too. It's not just chair dancing.
You don't just get the head and shoulders.
That's right.
But you do get the special effects.
Special effects. Here we go.
Wait, I'm not close enough.
All right, here we go. Thanks, gang.
Mug wipe. Adios.